So have you ever heard the phrase, when pigs fly? When pigs fly. It's a phrase that's been around in certain versions for more than 400 years. And what does it mean? Well, it means that whatever it is that you're wanting to happen, there's no chance it's going to happen. In other words, the chances of whatever it is happening is the same as the chances of a pig flying. I guess if they could suddenly fly, that would be a pretty big deal. I love that one. Have you had a pig when pigs fly moment this week, maybe? You've had one of those moments at work or at home, sitting in traffic, at the doctor, at the hospital, wherever it may be. You've had one of those moments where it felt like whatever it is that you wanted to happen, there was no chance it was going to happen. Just one of those moments where you felt like everything seemingly was either falling apart or just not going your way. All of us have moments like that. And when those moments come, is there any help? Is there any hope? Absolutely. We continue our series called Right Now, where we're looking at what we can do right now that will have a huge impact on our individual lives and on the lives of the people around us. No matter who you are, no matter how old you are, no matter what your circumstances are right now, what can you be doing right now? Well, let's find out. Today's message is called Be Encouraged Now. We're turning our attention to Paul's letter to the Romans, and this is what Paul writes, verse 5. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement. This is who God is. No matter what you've ever thought about God, no matter what your parents or your grandparents have ever thought about God, no matter what your favorite entertainer or athlete or politician or horticulturist or whoever it is in your life that's your favorite, no matter what they have ever thought about God, no matter what atheist or agnostic have ever thought about God, this is who God is. God is the one and only God who gives the gifts of deep, satisfying, everlasting perseverance and encouragement. This is who he is. Well, what does that mean? Let's start with the first part, perseverance. Perseverance means to endure. It means to stay under, to remain under. It is a word of endurance. This is my first Mother's Day without my mom. And even though Pat Welsh is with Jesus and not here, there is a buffet of her quotable quotes that are ringing through my mind all the time. I've always referred to them as Patisms. And this week, my sister and I, we were talking, and she brought up one of my mom's famous Patisms. It's actually one that she stole from her mother, and it goes like this. What can't be cured must be endured. My mom used to say that all the time. What can't be cured must be endured. That feels like the motto of my life lately. Mentally and practically, my world is just filled with so much chaos and conflict and accountability and responsibility. There seems to be no cure for all that is happening, so I am having to learn to endure. Well, how do you learn to endure? What's the best way to endure? Well, possibly the best way to endure is to remember that the same God who rescued Jacob and Moses and Ruth and David, the same God that rescued Mary, the same God that rescued John the Baptist and John Calvin and John Knox and John Wesley, John MacArthur and John Piper and John Byrd, the same God that rescued Billy Sunday and Billy Graham and Bill Arnold and Bill Rogers. The same God that rescued Pat Welsh and Josie Dow Welsh Sr. and Josie Dow Welsh Jr. The same God who has rescued many of you. That same God who rescued and saved me. That same God thirsts, hungers, desires, delights to give me and you perseverance. Oceans of perseverance. Infinite oceans of perseverance, of endurance, are available from God to us. He delights to give them as a gift to our lives. What can't be cured must be endured. That's a real moment for many circumstances in life. But if you are a Christian, in a sense, it's not true, because you have actually been cured of the greatest disease, the greatest need that you have in your life. And that disease is a singular disease that compromises sin and death and hell. To be saved, to have salvation in Jesus Christ, means that the salvation from Jesus has come to me. It's been delivered to me as a believer through my faith and my repentance in Jesus Christ. And that means I have been cured, I am being cured, and one day my soul in a full resurrected body will be ultimately and gloriously and permanently cured. This is the promise of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and this is the guarantee of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And until that day, when sin and death and hell will be no more for those who are in Christ, until that day, in and through the person of Jesus Christ, by the power and the work of the Holy Spirit, through the blood of Jesus, God will unflinchingly desire and delight to give us the gift of His perseverance. And God's perseverance is not a grin and bear it perseverance. It's a grin and believe it perseverance. So let me just ask you, do you believe in God's perseverance? If so, then you can grin and grip it. You can grab a hold of it. Someone said there are many times in the life of a professing Christian when that professing Christian will say, "I can't." But what they really mean is, "I won't. I won't. I will not. I won't live out what I believe. I won't make any adjustments. I won't make any sacrifices. I won't believe in the blood of Jesus Christ. I won't believe in the presence of the Holy Spirit. I won't believe in the sovereignty of God. I won't." And that's true of many of us, just to confess for all of us. Many times when we say "I can't," we're saying "I won't," because I'm just not really going to turn to God. But see, the perseverance of God, this gift of perseverance, it's not supposed to be an "I won't." It was designed to be "I won." That's the picture. The gift of God's perseverance is victory. It's triumph. It's something beyond what we can imagine. The letter to the Hebrews says this, Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. "Therefore, since we also have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let's rid ourselves of every obstacle and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let's run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking only at Jesus, the originator and perfecter of the faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Just a little toned down version of philosopher Richard Morgan Flair. Woo! But that's a stunning sentence. Jesus, who for the joy set before him was brutally executed for you and for me. For joy, he endured the cross, all of its shame, all of my shame, all of your shame. He endured all of it. But it didn't stop there. He is risen. He reigns. And he is now, according to the scriptures, he has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That, dear Christian, is why we can persevere. We can run with perseverance. We can run with victory. We can run with triumph because Jesus endured so that we might be cured. Jesus endured the cross and all of its shame. And now he is sitting and he is standing. He is alive in victory. And his victory, according to the song, means that sin's curse has lost its grip. That's not a small thing. Jesus endured so that we might be cured of the curse of sin. We are no longer in the grip of sin for those who are in Christ. Sin no longer has a grip on us. That means that we can run. We can grin and grip and run with perseverance, run with endurance, run with triumph, run with victory, because we have actually been purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. He endured our shame, paid for our blame. But sometimes it's not easy to grin and grip, is it? Sometimes it's just hard. It feels impossible to persevere in the faith, to endure. And we began talking about pigs flying. In Cincinnati, Ohio, there is an annual race called the Flying Pig Marathon. Now, this is not pigs racing against one another. This is real people that are racing. And last Saturday, one of those real people was a 23-year-old woman named Sophia. Now, Sophia had been training for months to be a part of the Flying Pig Marathon. Now, she was only running the half marathon, which is 13.1 miles. Now, she had never run more than 12 miles in all of her training. So that means just finishing this half marathon was going to be a gigantic accomplishment for her. And boy, she started strong, man. She was running, she was pumped, full of energy, so much energy that she missed a critical turn. But she didn't really realize it because she was still running with a group. But after a while, she started thinking something's not right. So she turned to the person running next to her and said, "Hey, where's the split between the half marathon and the marathon?" And the other runner said, "You missed it." So all of a sudden, Sophia realized that she was actually with the full marathon. A full marathon is 26.2 miles. Remember the math. She's never run more than 12 miles. At this point in the race, she's run 3.2 miles. And all of a sudden, she's with a group of people that are going to run 23 more miles. So what'd she do? She kept running. She didn't know what else to do. She just kind of kept running. And it didn't take her long before she realized that this group she was with, there was something special about it. It was actually a designed pace group being led by a world-class marathoner named Harvey. And so Harvey's leading them. He's cheering them on. He's saying, "Hey, just calm down. Just calm your breath. Relax your shoulders. Just remember, this is the mile we're running. We're not worrying about the others. We're just going to run in this mile." You know, that's not bad advice for way beyond just a marathon, right? The psalmist said this in Psalm 119, 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." For many years, I have shared with people that when I see that verse, what it says to me is God is not going to light up step 27. He's just going to light up the next step. We want step 27. God, what's going to happen in 3 weeks? What are the stocks going to do in 4 months? What are gas prices going to be in 4 days? See, we want step 27, but God's promise is not step 27. That's not what he's going to light up. He's going to light up the next step, but then he will be with us every step of the way. So as believers, the call really is to love God first and most, and just focus on the next step. Just the next step. So what happened with Sophia? Sophia ran a marathon that day. She had never run more than 12 miles, but she ended up running 26.2 miles that day. Now, if you're a runner, and I am not, and will never be, but if you are a runner, you might be curious to know that in her first marathon, she ran it in 3 hours and 30 minutes. I think that's pretty good. I mean, I don't know if I could run it in 3 days, so 3 hours and 30 minutes sounds amazing. I don't know if I could run it in 3 weeks. Here's what I love the most about Sophia's story, though, is what she said after her experience. I think it was a good mistake because it really helped me realize that sometimes the wrong turn takes you further than the right turn ever could. Have you had a when pigs fly moment lately? One of those moments that felt like a wrong turn. Felt like what you wanted to happen was not going to happen, and you're sitting in this moment where you realize the chances of what you want happening are just flying away. God desires and delights to give you his gift of perseverance and endurance in that moment. He desires and delights to help you calm your breathing, to relax your shoulders, and just focus on the next step. And here's why. Because the last step has already been taken care of. You have already been cured of the disease of sin and death and hell. So because that's true, you can grin and grip and run and race with the grace that never runs out as you keep running to him. What can you do right now? You can receive God's gift of perseverance. And what about the second one? The second gift God desires to give you is encouragement. The word here means to come alongside someone and to console them, to comfort them. That's what Harvey was doing with that pace group. That's what he was doing as he was next to Sophia. When her legs were so full of pain, she didn't think she could run the next step. Harvey was just encouraging her. He just said, hey, just breathe, just run, just take the next step. Have you had a when pigs fly moment this week? A moment when you couldn't take the next step, or at least you didn't feel like you could? Where you were so discouraged, so overwhelmed, it felt like the chance of things working out was never going to work out. Well, God desires and delights to give you his encouragement in that moment. He desires and delights to help you calm your breathing, to relax your shoulders, to just love him, trust him, and just look at the next step, because the last step has already been handled. The last step of being cured from sin and death and hell, that step has been handled. So that's why we can grin and grip and run with the grace that never runs out as we keep running to him. So maybe the question of the day is, have you truly been cured? Not do you believe in God, not are you a good person, not do you attend church every now and then, but have you truly been cured from sin and death and hell? Has sin's curse lost its grip on you? Have you truly repented of sin and truly turned to Jesus and received the salvation that he purchased for you on a cross 6 hours one Friday? If you are not a Christian, we want you to know Jesus loves you, and he gave himself up for you so that the curse of sin could no longer have a grip on you. If you've never turned to Jesus, turn to him today. Be free from the curse. Be free at last. And why does God desire and delight to give us these gifts of perseverance, these gifts of encouragement? Look at the next part of verse 5. To grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus. Being of the same mind means everybody is supposed to have the same opinion about everything all the time. No, that's not what it means at all. Christians are not always going to have the same opinion on theology, on doctrine, on church bylaws, on church clothes, on church music. They're not going to have the same opinion on sports teams. They're not going to have the same opinion on who to vote for. They're not going to have the same opinion on what kind of barbecue sauce you should use. Which, of course, I would say, keep the sauce on the side. Just let that barbecue be free. Just enjoy it. The same mind does not mean same opinions. It means the same cause. It means that when we look at life, it's not about any one particular individual's opinions, but it's about individuals having a passion and an agreement on a cause that's greater than any one individual person. So what is that cause? What is the only cause that's greater than any human being on earth? What is that cause, the only cause, that can set us free from the curse of sin, from the grip of sin's curse? The only cause that will last forever and ever and ever. Well, that cause is the cause of Christ. That cure is the cure of Christ. There's an old saying that goes like this: only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. The greatest cause that we could ever be of the same mind on is the cause of Jesus Christ, because it is the cause of Jesus Christ that's the only cause that can free us from the curse of sin. 31 years ago, I was walking down the beach with my parents at Surfside Beach in South Carolina, and I was telling them that my now wife and I were planning on getting engaged. My father, very wise, practical, successful man, said, "Y'all ain't ready to get married." My mother, also a very wise, practical, successful woman, said, "Y'all barely know each other." It was an interesting walk down the beach, there and back. And you know what? They were both right. They were, but you know, when you're in your 20s, you're young and stupid. You just do, you know? But I remember my mom left after we got back, and she was gone for a while. And then later on that afternoon, she came in and she gave us a gift. It was a little frame picture that she had bought at Tomlinson's gift shop there in Surfside, and it had a quote from Corrie Ten Boom, and this is what the quote said: "Every experience God gives us, every person he puts in our lives, is the perfect preparation for the future that only he can see." That little frame picture has been on our dresser now for 30 years. But you know, this year, that little frame picture, it hits a little deeper. First of all, both of my daughters have gotten engaged in the last 14 weeks, so that's a thing, you know. But there's something that hits deeper about that, because it's a reminder to me that on the day that Pat Welsh and I weren't of the same opinion and the same feeling, my mother made sure that I was on the same mind with her for the greatest cause that exists in the universe. So that frame is not just a frame. It's a reminder. On this Mother's Day, my mother always said, "Dow, This is the cause. It's not marriage. It's not your job. It's not your education. It's not Clemson. It's not your kids. It's not even your work at the church. Now, this is it. This is the cause. The cause of Christ. It's the only one that gives the gift of perseverance and encouragement that never ends. This is the cause. This is the cause. This is the future. What can you do right now? Right now, you can receive God's gifts of perseverance, God's gifts of encouragement, because it is those gifts that remind us that Jesus has endured so that we would be cured. There is no greater cause than the cause of Christ. Only one life. It will soon be past. Only what is done for Christ will last.